About a decade ago, I had a brain hemorrhage. It was my first day of my vacation, and my brother rushed me to the hospital. I went from completely fine without symptoms to brain dead within a couple of hours. Hadn't it been for my mother's unshaking and frankly misplaced faith, they would have pulled the plug on me. Instead, I was kept alive for 3 months. Then, I woke up. It was unceremonious at best. I waved at a nurse, who calmly went to fetch a doctor. I fell in and out of consciousness, and in about an hour, I was sitting up on my own. I had about a dozen tests and several x-rays, but there was seemingly nothing wrong with me. A bit malnourished and lacking vitamins, but a few hearty meals later and I was fine. Before my brother was even told about me waking up, I was already on my feet. A bit wobbly, but still. I heard the word miracle thrown around too many times to count. My mother was beside herself, and it cemented her faith in an unhealthy place. She started giving most of her money to faith healers, spirit guides, and mega churches. I know I shouldn't complain. Her attitude might have stayed the hand of someone who, in good faith, were told to pull the plug. But I just hated seeing her get conned over and over. Still, to her, it all made sense. I had to find a new place to live, and I'd been replaced at my job. I moved in with my brother while I got back on my feet. I still didn't notice any side effects, and in many ways, I was healthier than ever. I stayed with my brother for 2 years before I got a nice job at a lumber mill outside of town and was able to get my own place. And up until about a year and a half ago, everything was fine. Then, things started to feel weird. At first, I thought my old health problems were flaring back up. Every day on my commute to work, I was getting headaches, dizziness, and sudden bursts of neck pain. It got so bad that I started dreading the drive to and from work more than work itself. I went to a doctor, and the results were confusing. It turns out I had a small growth in the back of my cranium. It had a strange shape, and more mechanical than organic. It was metallic in nature, about the size of the palm of my hand. The doctor showed me an x-ray, describing it as a strange, quote, tattoo on the inside of my skull. My first thought was that it looked like a circuit board, but organic. The doctor had no idea what to do. It was such a large area that surgery would be severely life-threatening, and the blood work didn't show any elevated levels. If anything, whatever had grown in the back of my head was benign. I was given stronger pain medication and sent home. They suggested I start keeping a pain journal. For 8 months, my symptoms gradually got worse. I took my medication, but the relief was temporary. I put a lot of time and effort on my pain journal, trying my best to look for patterns. The only pattern I could find was my commute to work. Just as I got to work and just as I got home was by far the two worst times of day. I started taking different routes, working from home, and trying different strategies. To my surprise, some of it would work. Working from home was the best solution, but also taking a longer route. Step by step, I started narrowing in on the problem. It was the strangest thing. There's a deep tunnel that connects our town to the I-94, and that stretch of land was causing my discomfort. It wasn't an immediate pain, but every time I avoided that tunnel, I'd feel a lot better afterwards. I decided to prove it once and for all. I stayed in the middle of that tunnel for about 15 minutes. My symptoms were wreaking havoc and growing worse. Pain, dizziness, loss of balance. That was only the start. It felt like I was being tased, and every source of light became blinding. My stomach twisted and turned, and as I was about to lose consciousness, I heard a scream. I didn't even realize it was my own. I had to be taken out by ambulance. The reaction was almost identical to when I first collapsed my hemorrhage all those years ago. My brother had almost crashed his car rushing to the hospital, and my mother almost had a heart attack. Luckily, I'd woken by the time they got there. I wasn't even mad. I finally knew what was causing my pain. Over the coming weeks, I narrowed down the problem further. It wasn't just that tunnel in particular. It was any kind of tunnel. But it wasn't just tunnels either. Staying long enough underground would cause a similar effect. I took care not to black out again, yet the symptoms were the same every time. I knew that whenever I started hearing screams, I had to get out. A crazy thought came to me. If staying underground was causing me pain, what would happen if I reached higher altitudes? So, I took a flight to my college buddy over in New Hampshire. Halfway through the flight, I had to use the restroom. My head was feeling light and cold, like I had ice between my ears. I was getting different symptoms than usual. Vibrations in the base of my neck, uncontrollable eye movement, hyperventilation, drooling. I was a mess. I stayed in the bathroom for 30 minutes. Then, it all just stopped. As I stepped out, I felt amazing. Better than I had in years. No pain, no stress. My body felt relaxed and limber, like I stepped out of a good massage. I only recently learned that during that time I spent in the bathroom, the flight controls and autopilot stopped working. There was also an issue in the in-flight movie, which was picking up massive amounts of static noise. I had no idea. During my time in New Hampshire, I was like a new person. I get these different symptoms every time I spent time on elevated ground. A high hill, a tall building, anything. Vibrations, hyperventilation, eye movement, all of it. It came rushing back to me, and I'd feel amazing afterwards. Hell, I was losing weight and gaining muscle without even trying. I felt several years younger, and I could function with no more than 3 hours of sleep. After 2 weeks, I was longing for the flight back home. I wanted to get back up in the clouds and feel that euphoria again. I was getting attuned to it. I get giddy thinking about it, and people were starting to notice my new positivity. I was, at one point, just asked whether I started taking drugs. The second flight was almost a disaster. I stayed in the bathroom for 45 minutes, and during that time, the plane was almost falling out of the sky. The flight controls and autopilot was going berserk, and every instrument was showing the same crazy set of numbers over and over. I'll never forget it. 2, 12, 1, 13, 5, 12, 5, 19, 19. I knew this for one simple reason. The same was happening to me. I'd hear bursts of screeches and beeps in the same pattern over and over. After 45 minutes, the flight attendant burst through the door. They laid me down and poured cold water over me. I had an inhuman fever and my skin was turning red. They had to put a blanket in my mouth to keep me from biting off my own tongue. One flight attendant told me, after we landed, that my eyes were bulging to the point where they thought they'd pop out. In my head, I heard the same sequence of beeps and screeches over and over. Somewhere in the back of my mind, there was a voice, a woman calling to me. The last thing I remember from that flight was looking out through a window, seeing the cumulus clouds over New Hampshire. I could have sworn something out there blinked at me. They had to make an emergency landing, and I was examined at the gate. I'd lost consciousness, but I was regaining it quickly. One of the flight attendants stayed a while to talk to me while the paramedics made sure I was okay. They were also cordial, but this is also where something started to go very wrong. I couldn't see their faces anymore. It was all just a blur. Swirls of skin with fat splotches of black and white. Their voices would distort, like I was hearing them underwater. I'd see the spots where their eyes would be, floating around their liquid head. The mouths opening and closing seemingly at random, like a trout out of focus. I was scared out of my mind, and they had to give me a powerful sedative. I dreamed about clouds. Clouds. With eyes. My mom and brother came to see me in the hospital. They tried to comfort and support me, but I couldn't stop looking at their faces. I was scared they might get blurry and start moving again. At one point, I heard their voices distort, and I felt my heart race. A team of nurses had to race in, and no one could see me for another 6 hours. I woke up in the middle of the night. My mom was still standing next to my bed, holding my hand. Her face was gone, and her voice changed pitch, seemingly at random. The swirl mess of features focused on me. My heart was skipping beats to the same repeated pattern I could hear in my head. It made me think of the same numbers I'd imagined back in the plane. "You should be thankful," the voice murmured. "You should be thankful." "For what, Mom?" "I asked him to come save you. And he did. He saved you, love." Who saved me?" She leaned over to whisper. I could hear crackling, like teeth mashing together, a slithering sound, like a dry tongue dragged across a rough surface. "The man from the computer. He told me he'd save you." "What man? Who are you talking about?" "The hatchet man." The words were cold. I leaned back, taking a closer look at Mom. Without her usual voice, it was like talking to a stranger. In the dark, I barely recognized her. She had unusual clothes, but it was her shoes that made me take notice. Those were sneakers, far too large for her feet. Like a bolt of lightning, the swirling face disappeared. It was like pulling a curtain from my mind. A stranger was sitting in front of me. A complete stranger. A man, early 40s or late 30s. Rugged, with a wild beard, a hoodie, and complete black eyes. It was hard to tell if they were just some extremely large pupils or solid black. The man stood up, pulled out some sort of cable from my arm, and snapped his finger. Every electronic item in the room fell silent. I tried screaming for help, but he just snapped his fingers again. My mind cramped. "Testing," he said in a low, rumbling voice. "Testing." His eyes flashed yellow, and I couldn't breathe. I counted 10 excruciating seconds before my throat opened up. The stranger leaned over me, his fingers ready to snap. "Without the hatchet man, you'd still be brain dead, you ungrateful swine. Now stay still." I was frozen. I felt that my pulse wanted to race, but something was holding me back. Something was controlling my bodily functions. The stranger reinserted a needle into my arm and held up an otherworldly, black, handheld device. There was a series of beeps, the same pattern. Then it was done. He took out the needle and headed for the door. What is this?" "Nothing," he smiled. "Just a hot fix." He snapped his fingers again, and the world went dark. I've since talked to my mother about this. She believes I dreamt the whole thing, but she was surprised that I found out about a donation to the Hatchet Man. Apparently, that was the username that showed up in the donation to the Church of the 13 Chisels. Mom had tried everything, but it was after that donation that I had just woken up. She considers herself part of their flock, a follower nowadays. Of course, there is no such thing as the Church of 13 Chisels. They send out a monthly email that is just a copy-pasted version of an email from a televangelist with some names switched around. The physical address is fake, and every single picture on their website is just copied pictures from other churches and photoshopped faces. The entire thing is a scam, a shell. Still, here I am. Ever since that night, I've been a lot more stable. I can go through tunnels without feeling bad, but I also don't feel different while flying. There are no swirling faces, distorted voices, or odd sequences in the back of my head. Still, I've been to the doctor, and the organic metal growth in the back of my head remains. It just seems to be more passive. A strangeness. Or maybe it was just fixed. I don't know if I should be worried. I don't know what this means, and I don't know where to look for answers. Do you guys have any theories? I think the growth saved my life, but I'm not sure what to expect. This must have happened for a reason. I don't feel like I'm doing anything involuntarily, and I don't feel like something's affecting me. But maybe it will, someday.